Hello, everyone. Jim Coyle from Indiana Sports Beat Radio. Thank you so much for listening to our content. We hope you enjoy it. Make sure you're a subscriber at either your favorite podcast download or on our YouTube channel at Indiana Sports Beat Radio. Either way, just give us a like on any of those. We would greatly appreciate it. It helps us immensely. Thank you and have a great day. Indiana Sports Beat Radio is brought to you exclusively in Fort Wayne on 1380 The Fan by Ben Davis Chevrolet and Ben Davis Ford in Auburn.
At Ben Davis Chevrolet and Ben Davis Ford in Auburn, we're your one-stop shop for all of your automotive needs. We have the area's best selection of over 300 vehicles, including new cars, trucks, vans, and SUVs. Plus a huge selection of pre-owned vehicles in stock. And if we don't have what you're looking for, we'll find it for you. We also have top-of-the-line service and parts, plus a collision repair center, and we're competitively priced on everything. For sales, service, collision, parts, and more, we do it all. Come see us today or visit us online at BenDavisChevrolet.com and BenDavisFord.com.
Welcome to Indiana Sports Beat Radio, brought to you by the Hard Truth Distilling Company in Brown County, Indiana.
So for the thousands in attendance and the millions watching around the world, it's time!
Three on the way. Oh, Elian! Elian! And Indiana wins the ball game!
Know your role and shut your mouth!
Simple, I win. Google me.
You know that I'm the cream of the crop.
Oh. Now, from the Hard Truth Studios, here's Jim Coyle.
Hello, sports fans. Welcome to another edition of Indiana Sports Beat Radio, coming to you from the Hard Truth Distilling Company studios on this Tuesday. Thank you so much. The last Tuesday of the January of the new year. Hope everyone is doing well, making it into the beginning of the week. Still got that snow out there, man. It's just been sitting there, hovering, won't go away. It's crazy. Plenty to get to on the program today. Grateful to have you along. As always, no matter where or how you're listening, on one of our great affiliates like 97.7 ESPN, The Ref, always the right call in Evansville. Up in the region, on the voice of the region, 1230 AM, 104.7 FM, WJOB, and in Fort Wayne on Fort Wayne's only sports station, 1380 The Fan. Keep it locked right here on these stations because there's no place else you need to go. Great content throughout the day. Appreciate you being with us here on Indiana Sports Beat Radio. Looking forward to talking to Mike DeCourcy early on. He is a guy that I can't wait to have on today because of all the talk with Indiana basketball. So many people would like to move on right now. It is most likely that Indiana will make a change at the end of this season, in my opinion. That doesn't mean that's going to happen. So let's be clear about that. It's just the way things are heading at this moment. That seems to be the case. Everyone asks, why not do it now? Well, there are a multitude of reasons. There are so many facets that the athletics director, Scott Dolson, has to deal with or think about, consider in this. If what good does it do removing a coach in January? You've got up through March to finish playing. If you did that, that tells the team that you have quit on either the team or the coach. And do they pack it in and quit? You have recruits that have committed. How do you massage that? You've got boosters on the other side that are not happy, fans that are not happy, but you can't hire a coach. You can't really officially talked to Coach. Now, you can back channel that, which is usually how a lot of that stuff gets done. But I'm not sure how receptive coaches are to back channeling in January of a college basketball season. So I'm looking forward to talking to Mike about that, amongst other things. Herbal asked, who would be the interim if they did it now anyways? Great question. It's a great question. I think that that would be Coach Yazir Rosemond, to be honest with you. I would bet that, but that's just a guesstimation. I don't think he's going to step down before the end of the season. I don't know that he'll step down at all, but it's just going to be, it's a weird deal. Russell says, yeah, these, well, that's not exactly how it works. They're not sponsored by them, but I'm not sure what the point is there, Russell, in regards to Brian. Again, you guys have to put a little more context in your messages so I can have a little more understanding of what you're talking about. But Cheryl Sizemore on board, and we appreciate Cheryl. One of our great longtime sponsors, and make sure if you're looking for a home in the Indianapolis area, reach out to Cheryl. You'll hear the commercials in a little bit. I don't have the number memorized, Cheryl. I apologize. It's going to be a, let's see, what is the schedule tonight? How about some basketball? Duke, well, last night, actually, Duke gets a win at home over North Carolina State. Iowa State loses in overtime at Arizona, 86-75. Little upset there. Penn State, was it Michigan? Michigan, held on, 76-72. So Michigan has kind of come back to reality a little bit. Let's take a quick break. No sense in holding off someone with a lot more experience, expertise, and is much more wiser than I. We've got more coming up here on the program. Glad to have you with us from the Hard Truth Distilling Company Studios. Back with Mike DeCourcy from the Sporting News, Big Ten Network, and Fox, right after this break.
At Ben Davis Chevrolet and Ben Davis Ford in Auburn, we're your one-stop shop for all of your automotive needs. We have the area's best selection of over 300 vehicles, including new cars, trucks, vans, and SUVs, plus a huge selection of pre-owned vehicles in stock. And if we don't have what you're looking for, we'll find it for you. We also have top-of-the-line service and parts, plus a collision repair center, and we're competitively priced on everything. For sales, service, collision, parts, and more, we do it all. Come see us today or visit us online at BenDavisChevrolet.com and BenDavisFord.com.
Whether it's a night out with the family, after work with colleagues, or catching the game with friends, Bubba's 33 is the place for you. Bubba's 33 offers a mouthwatering menu of selections that are all made from scratch every day. The portions are big, but the prices are small. And with over 50 big screen TVs, you'll never miss the big game. Bubba's 33, pizza, burgers, beer. If you're looking for a home in the Indianapolis area, you need Cheryl Sizemore from RE/MAX Advanced Realty. Cheryl Sizemore has over 2 decades of experience, and that could be the difference in getting the home you want in today's tough housing market. Reach out to Cheryl Sizemore from RE/MAX Realty at cheryl@indyhomepros.com or 317-701-0838. 317-701-0838. Let Cheryl Sizemore help you find the home you want today. Located on 325 acres in beautiful Brown County, Indiana, Hard Truth Distilling Company is the biggest and the best craft distillery around. While Hard Truth is already known for producing internationally awarded whiskeys and spirits like Hard Truth Sour Mash Bourbons, Sweet Mash, and Hard Road Rise, as well as their cinnamon vodka and the always popular Toasted Coconut Rum. Hard Truth Distillery offers so much more. With a full-service restaurant, ATV and distillery tours, as well as live music, you can spend an entire day at Hard Truth Distillery while making your entire family or group happy. And that's the hard truth. Hard Truth products are available across Indiana as well as many other states. So no matter where you shop, if they don't carry your favorite Hard Truth product, tell them you want the truth, the hard truth. Hard Truth Distilling Company encourages you to enjoy all of their products responsibly and to never drink and drive. Welcome back to the Hard Truth Distilling Company studios on this Tuesday, and that means the great Mike DeCourcy joins us from the Sporting News, the Big Ten Network, and Fox Sports as well. Mike, how are you, sir?
I am well, Jim. How are you?
I cannot complain. We still got snow out there, man. I can't believe it. It's this same stupid snow that's been there for, I don't even know how long, 3 weeks now. It's just laying there, lurking. a lot of ice in some places, and I'm glad it's kind of slowly going away, though, because if that had all melted at once, man, we'd be swimming out there. But what's it like in the Three Rivers town?
Well, we have a lot of that same snow. We literally, I believe we had snow for something like at least recordable snow for something like the first 20 days of January or first 22 days, somewhere in there. So it's somewhat similar, but we were slightly more fortunate than you guys, because that first blast, the one that preceded all the little dustings, we didn't get much of that. We only got about an inch and a half, 2 inches. And I know that a lot of Indiana, including where I lived in Fishers, got 8 or so inches. And so I did not have to go through any of that, but I shoveled snow, I think, something like 15 to 17 consecutive days off my driveway.
Wow. That's a lot.
Yeah. Now some of it was just taking out the broom and brushing it off, I was headed to the airport last week for BTN, and I came out and opened the garage door, and there it was again. And I had to get out the broom before I took off for the airport. So thankfully, I think that's the last time to this point that I've had to do that. And February is beckoning, and maybe it'll be a better weather month than what we had.
Yeah, I remember there was 3 straight years when I was a kid. I'm not going to mention when those years were. because I just wrote them down and looked at it and said, I'm not saying that. speaking of, man, there's so much going on. First of all, I was talking earlier, I was a little surprised, but I said, this is why you cannot jump to conclusions. Todd Golden cleared by investigation in all of the allegations, and there were a lot. And when you have that many allegations, most 99% of us, even those that probably shouldn't, you're like, there's no way that there's not something there. When you have multiple people and this cleared of everything. So that tells you, just don't jump to conclusions. You have to wait. So that one was a big surprise. It's a little surprising that they now have an assistant also dealing with something similar, but, that's huge, because this Florida team is good. Tom Green thinks that they could be a Final Four team. They played very well in the tournament last year. I remember watching them in Indy.
Well, I think they could be. They're certainly capable of winning games in March. But, here's the thing. At this stage, after what we saw a year ago, how many teams can you look at in the field and say, no chance, can't win? I mean, after NC State, I can't ever say again, I can't see that team winning 3-4 games. I can't. I mean, St. Peter's won 3 games. So I don't know that that's, a pronouncement that is unchallengeable. I I think if you look at Florida, of all the teams that you, if you insist on looking at the rankings, if you look at KenPom or the net, or if you look at my brackets or Jerry Palm's or Joe's or whatever, if you look at the teams that are gathered at the top, there is none that has done less than Florida. None. None that has done less. Their schedule has been so accommodating. It's as if, you know, they got a limo sent to their door for each game. I mean, it's just not, even in the SEC, by the SEC standards, it's not been difficult. And it doesn't get difficult. I did a thing on Fox last week talking about the various teams in the SEC and the strength at the top. And if you look at Alabama and Auburn and Tennessee, at that point, that was prior to Saturday when Auburn and Tennessee played. But at that point, Alabama, Auburn, Tennessee all had five games against the group of teams that were at the top of my bracket, in the top two, three lines, which is Florida, Tennessee, Alabama, Auburn, Kentucky. They had the Alabama, Auburn, Tennessee, all five games against that group. Kentucky, four games against that group. Florida, which danced all the way through November and December and only played like one half a hard game. Their toughest non-league game practically was Carolina on a neutral floor. That's what they listed as tough. They only have three of those games left. So it's never going to be as difficult as everybody else in the SEC is. So I don't know whether that's good or bad. I've always maintained that the less taxing your regular season is, as long as it doesn't disadvantage you in seeding, the better it is for you in March. This whole thing about battle tested is nonsense. Battle weary is a real thing. Battle tested is not really true. I mean, you want to go through some tough games like Duke did last night. You don't want to win every game by 20, and then you get into a tough game and you don't know how to deal with it. Last night we saw Duke, although it wasn't a great opponent in NC State, it was a tough game. And they really had to be resourceful down the stretch to win it. But I'm just not as overwhelmed by Florida's accomplishments as I am by the potential in their team. I think they have a nice team. I think that Clayton is a really good guard that's hard to defend because he has good size and good range. I really like him. Condon, their big guy, is someone that the pro scouts really like. He's very mobile. He's not always as impactful as he might be. There's a lot of teams, Jim, that if I handed them Florida's schedule, would have Florida's record. And that's what makes me wonder. They probably wouldn't all blow out Florida by 20, wouldn't all blow out Tennessee by 30 at home. And that's where you start to wonder about how really special this Florida team might be. But I still am skeptical about the nature of their group.
SEC, I mentioned, how did the SEC become so dominant so fast? Not that, you know, this is not exactly overnight, but it just seemed like it, because they already had, you know, you had Kentucky out for a long time. Then Alabama here recently has really blown up under Nate Oates, and Bruce Pearl has continued to do a phenomenal job at Auburn. Tennessee under Rick Barnes. But there are other teams, Mississippi State, Ole Miss, that are like, wait, what? These not very non-basketball schools are now in the top 25, along with many others. They've got, I forget how many, like 10 teams in the top 25, I think, right now.
Well, again, you know,
which polls are stupid. I'm right there behind you. I hate polls are dumb, but just to kind of give it something to talk about, because,
well, here, how about the fact that they have four teams in the top 10 of the KenPom, then another one in the top 20. So that's five in the top 20. Then the next three that are directly out of the top 20. So that's, what are we up to? Eight teams in the top 23. Is that what I mean? That's unbelievable. And My bracket today, I think I can give this away. We'll put them with 13 teams in this week's bracket. That and 13 breaks just about it. They will break if they get that 13. They'll break every significant record in terms of bracketing. That doesn't mean you advance.
Big Ten is ever 11. Is that the most?
The record is 11, and that record was set by the Big East.
Yes.
The Big East has the significant records right now.
But that record really is not going to be broken, in my opinion. This goes back to the Babe Ruth and who hit the 61st home run?
Roger Maris.
This goes back to the he played more games.
Okay.
Actually, they had didn't the Big East, how many teams did they have at the time? Do you remember?
They had 16.
They did. 16. Yes. Okay. Well, I am wrong. Never mind. Just let me shut my mouth.
Yeah, that was the days of the hybrid Big East when half the league played football
Remember they had that many. Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So they own the three most significant bracketing records are these. One is the number of teams from a league, and they own that one from 2011. The second one is the greatest percentage of a league to get into the tournament. How many of your members got in? And in 1991, they put 7 out of 9 in. So I think that works out to about 78%. I think that's right. And so that they own that one from 91. And in order to break that, the SEC has to get 13. If SEC gets 13, they break that record. And then the third record is the number of teams with top 4 seeds. That record is 5, and it's held by a lot of different conferences in a lot of different years. The Big Ten did it three times. I think they might have done it 3 times in a row. The Big Ten has done it a bunch. The ACC's done it several times. Big 12 did it recently. So there have been a lot with 5. The SEC has a chance to break that as well. And look, they are earning this. Although, like I said, Florida's schedule wasn't particularly daunting. I thought, first of all, that they scheduled brilliantly because what they did, and I might have mentioned this before, Jim, they did what the Big East used to do with their league schedule, which is basically stratified scheduling. If you're expected to be elite, you played an elite schedule. And so like Auburn and Alabama being the teams that everybody knew were going to be great. They played just about everybody. I mean, Auburn's schedule was ridiculous and Alabama's schedule was pretty close to that. But the thing is, Auburn went out and won almost every game and Alabama wasn't far behind. And then Tennessee played a slightly less difficult schedule them and they won all their games just about. And then you went down and then we were down near the middle and that's where Florida kind of was. And Florida played teams that played a lot of easier games. And then when they did step up in class, they didn't step that high. They stepped up to play, let's say, as I mentioned before, Carolina. Oklahoma didn't play that many. They stepped up and they played Michigan. And what is impressive about all this is not only the brilliance of how they designed these schedules, but also they won all these games. I mean, Michigan let a late lead go against Oklahoma and they lose that game, but then it adds another one to the SEC pile. Illinois has Tennessee at home and has a fairly decent, maybe a 4 or 5 point lead with 4 minutes left coming out of a timeout on the side. And Yakachonis throws the ball away on the inbound. And then they give up a late layup after they take the lead, the Illini. So the SEC is winning all these games. And that's making a difference to the number of teams that they will get in the field. So they did a great job of designing it and a great job of executing it. You can't take anything away from what they've achieved to this point in the season.
No, it's rolling on, and you could never predict the Big Ten. I mean, the Big Ten, the national champion, but Auburn, they're looking good.
Oh, they're going to be tough to beat. Now, what you asked me before about how did they get this good? I mean, they hired significant coaches at every opportunity they got of late.
And this was a conference-wide, this was not a mandate, but this was a focus that Greg Sankey kind of led, right?
Yes, they hired Mike Trangisi as a consultant.
Big East guy, right? He from the Big East
commissioner. Yeah. We're talking about nearly a decade ago that they did this, probably a decade ago now that they did this. They hired Dan Leibovitz to be their at the time their associate commissioner for basketball. He's now in the Big East, but he did a really nice job with them. And then, honestly, Jim, if you look at it, I mean, they hired significant coaches. In some cases, I mean, they had to look past some things to do that. Some lesser things in the case of Bruce Pearl, they looked. In that case, they had to overlook the NCAA case from 2009 or so, 2010 at Tennessee, or what happened with Chris Beard at Ole Miss. I mean, or what happened, how he exited Texas. Ole Miss had to say, we're okay. We're going to hire him anyway. And so they did. And so they're winning more games. Chris Beard won it. Texas Tech, he won at Arkansas Little Rock, he won at Texas, although not to an elite level, and now he's winning at Ole Miss. So in some cases, they said, we don't care. We're going to go win basketball games, and that's what they're doing.
They are definitely doing that, and they're doing it with a fun style. I mean, they're fun games to watch. They're all kind of up-tempo.
I'm glad you brought this up, Jim, okay? Because I've been at the Big Ten Network for 15 years, 16. This is my 16th season. I've been there. I just celebrated my 15th anniversary, okay? And in all that time, I hear all the time, the reason the Big Ten doesn't win in March is because they play too slow. They play too physical. I've heard this a zillion times. Now, of course, there's two problems with this, okay? First of all, there's the fact that they do win in March. They just haven't won the national championship. They've had a ton of teams, a truckload of teams, get to the Final Four, et cetera, et cetera. They have had more teams, and this is not just a reflection of being a more voluminous league. It's because there's lots of leagues with a lot of members. They've won a ton of games in March to get to the Final Four. They just haven't been able to win the last one. That's the first problem with it. The second problem with it is that they don't play slow. Some teams do, and some teams don't. They played about the same pace of play and the same level of physicality as every other league. It's not any different, but they have a brand, or so to speak, or a narrative that's pasted to them that they can't shake no matter how many times they throw up a 90 spot. No matter how many times Iowa goes out and scores 100, everybody still says this. So then on Saturday, what was the final score of Auburn, Tennessee? What, 53-52, something like that? I don't remember, Jim, hearing anybody say, boy, they just play slug ball in the SEC. That's all they do down there is grind it. I get upset, bothered, not by, because it's not my league, right? I mean, I love working at the Big Ten Network, and I appreciate all of the programs and teams and coaches that I work with. But I hate things that aren't true becoming part of the lexicon. It's just it's so lazy. And so I've been sitting here on this since Saturday night when I got off my plane from Chicago after doing working with Jordan Taylor and Kylan Mills on our various shows on Saturday. I got off the plane and saw the final score of that game. And I laughed because I'm like, there's no way if they played this game in the Big Ten that people wouldn't be racking on the league for the fact that their two best teams or two of their three best teams or whatever went out and played a 1950 score.
I wasn't necessarily thinking that per se. Now, when it comes to Indiana, that is the case. That's because they play a completely different style than most other people. But I think the officiating has a big part of it, because the Big Ten has been known to be a lot more physical. I don't know, but I can't imagine. There has to be something somewhere, because this has been a long time. And they have too many good teams over that time to not have that ultimate success, although they're getting that, reaching that pinnacle is not exactly easy. And more teams started doing that, so it became more difficult. It is a little shocking that no one has been able to climb that hill from in all that time. And I don't know that Michigan State is probably the only team in the Big Ten this year that has that chance to win it all again. Purdue is really good, but they are susceptible. Michigan has kind of come back to reality a little bit, although they're a really good team. Wisconsin on the rise, getting better. It was what you're supposed to be doing. Maryland getting better. So Illinois, they've been a little. Illinois has been a weird team to me. They are really, really good, but then they get their crap kicked out of them at home by Maryland and USC. And I'm like, wait, what? I mean, yeah. Like by 20. And I'm like, how does that happen to a team that I know how good, I've seen them. I know how good they are. They've got Yakachonis, and God bless America that you're on today, because if you hadn't said it again, so I could write that name down and repeat it phonetically. Yakachonis.
See, Yakachonis is easier for me. It's Humbrekaus that I have to really work on.
That's I played Little League Baseball with a guy named Homringhausen. So that's kind of easy for me. that rolls. We've got to take a break. The great Mike DeCourcy is with us from the Sporting News, Big Ten Network, and Fox as well. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more about Indiana. They've got a game coming up with Purdue, and they've got to start making hay if they don't want to see that season collapse. Appreciate you being with us. Back with more from the Hard Truth Distilling Company Studios right after these messages. Located on 325 acres in beautiful Brown County, Indiana, Hard Truth Distilling Company is the biggest and the best craft distillery around. While Hard Truth is already known for producing internationally awarded whiskeys and spirits like Hard Truth Sour Mash Bourbons, Sweet Mash, and Hard Road Rise, as well as their cinnamon vodka and the always popular Toasted Coconut Rum, Hard Truth Distillery offers so much more. With a full-service restaurant, ATV and distillery tours, as well as live music, you can spend an entire day at Hard Truth Distillery while making your entire family or group happy. And that's the hard truth. Hard Truth products are available across Indiana as well as many other states. So no matter where you shop, if they don't carry your favorite Hard Truth product, tell them you want the truth, the hard truth. Hard Truth Distilling Company encourages you to enjoy all of their products responsibly and to never drink and drive. Rugby Grouper, located on beautiful Anna Morial in Florida, is the place to be, and not just because they have unforgettable meals, including locally sourced seafood. The Ugly Grouper has your favorite craft beers and cocktails, along with live music every day. The Ugly Grouper is family-friendly, able to host private parties, and has the biggest grouper you've ever seen. The Ugly Grouper is the place to be on Anna Morial in Florida. Tell them Indiana Sports Beat sent you. Go to theuglygrouper.com for more information. When it comes to apparel and promotions, Freethink has you covered, literally, whether it's 24 or 200 shirts for sports leagues, businesses, or groups. Freethink Apparel and Promotions can also create your very own merchandising store. Freethink Apparel and Promotions did it for Indiana Sports Beat Radio, and they can do it for you. Whether it's screen printing, embroidery, digital printing, promotional products, vehicle wraps, or anything else under the promotional line. See what Freethink Apparel and Promotions can do for you at freethinkapparel.com.
At Ben Davis Chevrolet and Ben Davis Ford in Auburn, we're your one-stop shop for all of your automotive needs. We have the area's best selection of over 300 vehicles, including new cars, trucks, vans, and SUVs. Plus a huge selection of pre-owned vehicles in stock. And if we don't have what you're looking for, we'll find it for you. We also have top-of-the-line service and parts, plus a collision repair center, and we're competitively priced on everything. For sales, service, collision, parts, and more, we do it all. Come see us today or visit us online at BenDavisChevrolet.com and BenDavisFord.com.
Welcome back to the Hard Truth Distilling Company Studios on this Tuesday, last week of January. As a matter of fact, on Friday night, the Indiana Hoosiers head to West Lafayette as, Mike, this is the toughest four-game stretch of the entire season for Indiana, in my opinion. Doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure this out, but they have to go to Purdue, then go to Wisconsin, who is not only on the rise, playing really well, but Indiana hasn't won there since Jesus Christ and the 12 disciples were having conversations, I believe. It's been quite a while, the 90s. And let's see, then they welcome in Michigan and then go to Michigan State. That's the next four games for Indiana. That is a gauntlet. That is a slaughterhouse for anybody. But yes, this team right now, Indiana, they seem to be able to play, but you saw the game the other day. They stayed in the game against the Maryland team who controlled that game for the most part, controlled it with great perimeter play, mixing in some play in the paint. But it was the perimeter play. But Indiana rallied, not only got back in it, took the lead, had the lead. And a defensive lapse allowed Michigan to get off a game-winning shot. And then Indiana, with the opportunity to get their own game-winning shot off, just went up in flames as that whole last 30 seconds of Indiana was just a bust. But an opportunity for a quad one win went away, an opportunity to stem the tide, so to speak, especially heading into this. But this could be a really bad stretch for Indiana. And you starting out at Purdue is just waiting for this. And Purdue is playing well. I don't know how this team responds. That's going to be the interesting thing, because I don't know. They just seem to be, they don't seem to be on the same page together as a team, much less the end of that game. It was so much confusion, right personnel shuffling in. People didn't seem to know this, that. And that was just, that's not acceptable, really. That shows you why. Those are the little things that lose games. And I'm not saying they would have won the game, because there's nothing to say they would have hit the shot if they had got a clean look. But the opportunity would have been there, and it wasn't. And that's where this team is right now.
Yeah, they made two significant errors that in those final 30 seconds. When I was watching the game, my friend Steve Lapis made such an excellent point about having that foul in their pocket that they could spend without going to the bonus. And his point, which I loved, and I see coaches all the time or players just waste those fouls. But Steve's point, and I loved it, was you spend the foul when you're beaten. And that's the perfect point is, yeah, if you're beaten, you can undo everything that they just did by fouling. And you can, and honestly, you can foul in a way that you might get the basketball and completely undo what they did, because you can afford to go after the ball physically. And if you don't get the ball, or you don't have a foul called against you because the ref misses it or swallows his or her whistle or whatever, so you have free rein to take a risk there. And that, and when Maryland got the ball to the center of the lane with multiple Indiana defenders around him, I mean, it's almost an engraved invitation. Foul me. It was a perfect time. And I was astonished that they let that go. And then when the ball was kicked out, this part I'm a little bit less sure of. They weren't in proper position to contest the shot, to get a good contest on there. But I think there was still an opportunity to foul before the shot was launched. Now, I'm a little less sure that I'd have to go back and look at it again. But the first one is 100% true. They had multiple defenders around a player who had penetrated the lane with a foul to give, and they didn't do it. That's just unbelievable to me. And then the offensive end, whatever was drawn up or whatever, it just was not, it was not attractive, and it was not effective. And so they end up losing a game that they had an opportunity to win at home against a very good team, while the Hoosiers are trying to fight to get into the NCAA tournament to build a March resume. And like you said, I can't say that this is definitively coming up the most difficult stretch of a schedule that any team in the country will face, but I can tell you this with great confidence, there isn't anybody that will face a more difficult stretch than that. And so that this is like, if you survive it, if you go 2-2, you've done unbelievable work, and it will be noticed. But it's not going, it's going to be extremely difficult to get to 2-4 in that stretch. Excuse me, 2-2 in that stretch.
I agree. If they went 1-3, I'll be honest.
Now, 1-3 doesn't do anything for them.
No, I get it, but I'm going to be surprised if they're able to go 1-3.
Oh, I see. Yes.
I don't know where that win comes from. I don't see them going to West Lafayette and winning. And I would say that a lot of times, but this time, absolutely. The Wisconsin thing, maybe that's, there are all these odd games. Maybe this is the odd game. Indiana wins at the place where they haven't won in forever. And you're like, wow, that's the game they win? Holy cow. Possible. Michigan is going to be interesting for a number of reasons. People are calling for Mike Woodson's head right now. The favorite by the fans to replace him, Dusty May.
Not going to happen.
Well, and I'm not saying it is, but
it's not.
Well, we'll talk about that. But the point is, he's going to come in and get the loudest rouse of rounding applause. And I think Woodson gets booed that night. I think it's going to be an awkward moment when Indiana welcomes Michigan in.
Well, it may be, but who knows? Indiana may have won 2 in a row by then. We don't know that. But if you look at it, you could conceive of them, if they get to 2-2 in that stretch, it would be the possibility of winning at Wisconsin and then winning at home against Michigan. It's a home game against a good team. You know what you're supposed to do when you're a good team? You're supposed to beat good teams at home. So they should, honestly, be able to do that. I mean, Penn State just went into Ann Arbor last night and had to kind of – I mean, I think Michigan earned it, but – certainly Penn State didn't do anything to dissuade the Wolverines' comeback. And the other thing is that we can say is that Indiana has traditionally played reasonably well in East Lansing. I remember when they had Romeo Langford, they beat him twice up there. And not many thought that they'd win either game. They beat him, I believe, in consecutive seasons on the road that year. I'm trying to remember now. I know they beat him in East Lansing, and they might have swept them. And maybe that's what I'm remembering. I apologize for the fog. But so Indiana has had some wins against the Spartans when they maybe weren't favored to do so.
I'll never forget Archie Miller winning there. It was mind-boggling to me.
Yes.
Because they had lost like 1,000 in a row. But
yes, that's right. That's what it was. Yeah, they'd lost like 9 games in a row and broke the winning streak in all places, East Lansing, against a very strong Michigan State team.
Yeah. Yes.
What I'm saying is, evaluate what you've seen and what happened on Sunday with that decision or indecision not to foul deserves to be criticized. But until they lose the games over the next 4 that seem likely, I don't criticize them for that. I criticize them for the fact that they had a game against Maryland they didn't play great in, but they managed to play well enough in a stretch to get back into it and get a lead. And then they had a critical moment where they could have protected that lead with their own physicality. And just, I can't explain why they didn't, but I can tell you that it was decisive. And it may turn out, it's possible it may turn out to be decisive for their season. But until they play those four games, I don't think we can really be sure. Because if they do go 2-2, that's a significant step back into relevance. If they go 1-3, it doesn't help them. If they go 0-4, then they are in really big trouble.
Absolutely. I mentioned Dusty May, and you said that that would never happen as far as Indiana getting him as its next coach, which I don't doubt or say it's going to happen. I will only say that he has an extraordinarily small buyout, considering he's in his first year, and that is not by accident. And one of the things that I was told, whether it may not or may not be true, there was a last-second change of heart between taking the Louisville job and the Michigan job, and that getting that lower buyout was a major contributor to that. So if that is the case, why does he have such a small buyout if that is not in the back of his mind? But more importantly, why would he not be the next guy?
Well, I don't see a coach after 1 year leaving for a league rival. And in all honesty, Jim, I mean, if you look at, and I said this a year ago about Kentucky, even Kentucky, which has been maybe the most prominent basketball program over the longest period of time, not maybe, definitely. If you take the span of time in which this game has been played at a highly competitive level, which is basically 1939 first NCAA tournament, from then to now, the team that has been most consistently excellent over that period has been Kentucky. It's been an enormous program. And when they went into the market, what did everybody else tell you about who they'd hire? Nate Oates, Scott Drew, Dan Hurley. What did I say? Those guys aren't going anywhere.
But Nate Oates has an $18 million. That's my whole point to this. Nate Oates has an $18 million buyout, and he is.
There wasn't money standing between Scott Drew and Kentucky.
But Scott Drew did not have the relationship to. He didn't grow up 30 minutes from UK.
I understand.
Dusty did.
I'm
Dusty
just telling was you that
manager on the team.
I understand that, but major coaches don't leave jobs for other major programs. It doesn't happen any longer.
Because why would he negotiate a smaller buyout?
Because it never hurts to have leverage. Maybe when Indiana knocks on the door this year. This is all theoretical because I'm not saying they should or will make a change. But if Indiana knocked on the door this year and whatever Dusty's making, I have no idea. Let's say it's 4.5. Indiana knocks on the door, you're not far from 5.5 or 6.5 or whatever. That's why you do it. I'm just telling you that the history of these things is that that doesn't happen.
I would agree with you if there weren't some other facets involved that are normally not. Then another name, and I bring this one up only because of there's a connection, and then there's a disconnect with Chris Beard. Also a small buyout and nothing but success. You've got a Bob Knight connection, and he's won everywhere he's been, but he's got that little bit of baggage that he carries with him that people have not forgotten.
Yeah, I would say that it would surprise me if that happened for that reason. But he is. I will not say that he's not an excellent coach.
Right.
He definitely is in terms of X's and O's, getting his guys to play together, get him to play hard, getting him to play smart. He's excellent. But I don't expect it to happen for that reason. And that's a little different circumstance because it's even if you threw all that stuff out, and I'm not saying you should, but even if you threw all that stuff out of the conversation, Ole Miss is from a big-time league. But let's not pretend Ole Miss is a big-time basketball program.
No.
I mean, their history is almost non-existent. There are very isolated pockets of success. very, very isolated pockets of success at Ole Miss. So that's not the same. That is not the same as Michigan or Louisville or Auburn with what Bruce has done lately, or Scott Drew at Baylor, where he's won a national championship, or Dan Hurley, where he's won two at UConn. Those aren't the same as Ole Miss. I mean, if you look at the high major landscape, it's going to be hard to find a very many lesser histories than Ole Miss basketball. There are probably some that have less success, probably some high major programs that have less success than Ole Miss. But they're
and to
in
me
the
that
club.
Makes him stand out more because he's winning.
I'm saying if you divorce and also not
and
only
in a league that is on fire right now.
Yes, I'm saying that you can get that door opened if you want it to, because Ole Miss is not a significant program. That is essentially like going to a power conference school that's not in the SEC Big Ten, where there's less money but also less success, or going to an elite mid-major program. You can get those guys to leave where they are, is what I'm saying, if that's what you want to do. What I'm saying on the other hand is that guys don't leave big time programs for other big time programs. Now it doesn't happen any longer. And I'm not saying it could never, ever, ever, ever happen, but it's against the norm. And I usually follow the norm, and I've been right every time I've said it. Louisville, when they tried to get Bruce Pearl, next thing you know, Bruce has got another raise. That's usually what happens in those circumstances.
Very smart. I wish I had someone to leverage that with myself, but it doesn't work. What's when up next own, for you? Go ahead.
You're your own boss, Jim, you know.
I know that's yourself. The problem. I never win that argument, unfortunately. Mike DeCourcy, what is up next for you, brother?
Well, I will be back at the Big Ten Network studios on Saturday. We have a couple of interesting games in the league, and I will be I will post our new bracket this afternoon on at CBB on Fox, and I'm going to be probably starting work on some Super Bowl stuff in the next 2 weeks. You may have heard there's a big football game coming up between the Eagles and Chiefs.
I talked about that. The NFL has some sort of big game coming up.
Yeah.
Mike DeCourcy from the Sporting News. Make sure you're giving him a follow there for all of his content and keeping up with him on Big Ten Network as his basketball analysis from this season rolls on and with Fox. Appreciate you as always, brother.
Thank you, Jim.
Mike DeCourcy. We'll talk more about Brody McWhirter tomorrow, the 2026 quarterback that was recently in on a visit for Indiana, especially on Thursday when Coach Shannon joins us as well. But that's going to wrap it up for us today. Appreciate each and every one of you for joining us on the program. We're back tomorrow. Until then, I'm Jim Coyle. Go out, have yourselves a great day. I will see you on the radio.
Thanks for listening to Indiana Sports Beat Radio. Be sure to subscribe to our YouTube page for more clips and team coverage of Indiana basketball, football, and more. You can also find full episodes and tons of other content on thehoosier.com. We'll see you next time for another edition of Indiana Sports Beat Radio.
Indiana Sports Beat Radio is brought to you exclusively in Fort Wayne on 1380 The Fan by Ben Davis Chevrolet and Ben Davis Ford in Auburn.
At Ben Davis Chevrolet and Ben Davis Ford in Auburn, we're your one-stop shop for all of your automotive needs. We have the area's best selection of over 300 vehicles, including new cars, trucks, vans, and SUVs. Plus a huge selection of pre-owned vehicles in stock. And if we don't have what you're looking for, we'll find it for you. We also have top-of-the-line service and parts, plus a collision repair center, and we're competitively priced on everything. For sales, service, collision, parts, and more, we do it all. Come see us today or visit us online at BenDavisChevrolet.com and BenDavisFord.com.